Okay, we are back. Hope you had a great day today, and you're ready for some fascinating radio. We have a guest tonight. We have two guests, in fact. Our primary guest is a man who has not been on the program, and joining him will be Michael Roll, whom many of you are more than familiar with. Michael's been on, I think, six or seven or eight times, something, dealing with the issue of, the biggest issue of all, I guess, is there life after death. And Michael Roll's work, of course, over the decades has been unequivocally to state an affirmative answer to that question and back it up with mountains of evidence and documentation and fascinating storytelling of his experiences and people around him as well. He's brought many wonderful guests to the program. And recently I got a suggestion from a very fine journalist in England that I might entertain the idea of doing the program with Mr. Thomas Harrison. We'll call him Tom. Tom is in his 80s now. He was a Britisher, as you'll tell. He is living in Spain now, so don't expect a Spanish accent. Both Tom and Michael are on the line right now. Let me first welcome back Michael Roll to the program. Hello, Michael. Thanks for getting up in the middle of the night over in the UK again.
Hello, Jeff. This is my seventh broadcast with you now.
Seven. Well, we've really covered some amazing ground, thanks to you and your colleagues, and I am very much indebted to you.
Well, I have some new material to tell you tonight because the Jeff Rentz program is causing a revolution across the world. You're the only one who's running with this ball, and quite a few remarkable things have happened in the last few weeks.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear that things are happening.
Thanks to you, even the Society for Psychical Research, which have been fighting me with all their might since 1983, they've now done a U-turn, and the president has asked me to resubmit my paper that they censored in 1999. So,
well,
it's all thanks to the word getting out, and millions of people now saying, "Well, let's have a balance. We've heard the scientific case against survival. Now let's hear the scientific case for survival."
Well, we've heard, exactly, Michael, we've heard the scientific case against, the religious case never-ending against, the political, social cases and special interest groups, and indeed, let's get some balance, yes.
That's what the fight is. People have no idea. We have this James Randi fellow on and all qualified scientists who are on his side, but none of our qualified scientists in Great Britain are allowed to put the balance. But with Tom's program that went out on Christmas Eve and was repeated on New Year's Day, we did have one of a qualified scientist on backing him, which was absolutely unique. It's never happened before.
No, wonderful.
Professor David Fontana backed the program, which was marvelous.
Indeed. Let's, if you would, tell us, you've known Tom for a long time. Would you do a little introduction for us, and then I'll bring him on?
Yes, well, Tom we've covered this time and time again, that we've had the experimental proof of survival ever since 1874, when Sir William Crookes and his scientific team did the repeatable experiments under laboratory conditions.
Yes.
Then other international teams of scientists then proved it as well, but it's all been suppressed. But after that, we've had no end of mediums like Tom Harrison's mother, Minnie Harrison. She sounds like she was just as good as the medium that I witnessed, Rita Gould.
Rita Gould, yeah.
And Tom's going to tell you some wonderful things that he was brought up with as a young lad. He witnessed all this himself. And this was in the, I think, 1940s and 50s. So This is long after Sir William Crookes proved survival in 1874. It's been done over and over again, but it's all been hushed up.
Yeah,
we haven't had a Jeff Rentz.
Well,
I seem to push it forward.
Well, I thank you, but it's through your good graces and others that this is all possible, of course. The wonderful Peter Wadhams has been on the program before. He is a stalwart in your corner and is still taking, I guess, heat from some of his colleagues and so forth.
Well, only recently we had a report in the Sunday Telegraph here by Robert Matthews, who's the science correspondent. And he says his article was When Science Collides with the Paranormal.
Uh-huh.
And he says it's utterly beyond the pale for any scientist to link so-called paranormal phenomena with the scientific discipline of subatomic physics. So he's now exposing it in England. So everybody's waking up. They're saying, what's this about subatomic physics? They're finding out for the first time that what is being suppressed. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is stone-cold conspiracy facts, Jeff,
indeed.
As you know.
Oh, yes, indeed. All right. Well, with that, let's welcome our very special guest tonight, Mr. Tom Harrison from Spain. Hello, Tom, and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Well, it certainly is. It's good night over here. It's good morning over there. And I know Michael is working at 3 a.m. UK time, and you're on the continent, and I believe it's 4 a.m. where you are.
That's correct. Yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Now,
but we're wide awake.
The big question is, Tom, and I ask everyone this who's in the UK or in Europe, did you stay up or did you get up?
No, we got up half an hour ago. We had about 4 hours sleep. So that was all right.
Well, you sound wonderful.
Good?
Yes.
No problems.
Good.
Can I, first of all, thank you very much indeed for giving me the opportunity to share with so many people the wonderful experiences that I was privileged to have all those years ago in the 1940s and 50s with my mother.
Well, Tom, I'm honored. I'm very honored that, that you're here.
No, it's wonderful. Wonderful.
If you would, then just let's just start out and talk about young Tom Harrison. What kind of a life did you have, and how was your relationship with your folks and so forth?
Oh, fine. I had a very good childhood. I was an only child, so to some degree, I suppose, Jeff, I was spoiled, as only children often are. But that didn't affect me too much, I hope. Had a normal schooling, then a high school, and then a little job before the army took me during the war. I was called up just before the Second World War and served the whole of the war.
My.
Did the 7 years.
My goodness. Where did you serve?
Well, started off in France with the BEF, before, and then came back from Dunkirk, and then went off to Iceland. And then came back to UK, then went to France again on the D-Day operations, and then finished up in Germany.
Wow, what an extraordinary time and epoch in our history you lived through.
Yeah, wonderful. That was my university education.
I should say so. And people, the substance, the quality, the caliber of people was much different then than it is now, I'm sure.
Well, life wasn't so fast, was it?
No, I wouldn't think so, no.
I think life was much slower, but there was a certain degree of comradeship throughout all this time. As far as the psychic things are concerned, growing up, my mother was born in any event, I suppose, a medium. She was the youngest of 11 children, and all the family were mediumistic. They were not born into a spiritualist family at all, but they were not stopped from expressing their views. And I remember when I was about, I suppose, about 4-year-old, hearing songs being sung downstairs in our little house in Middlesbrough. And I wondered what was going on. And I crept down the stairs, and my mother saw me. And here were about 6 or 7 people sitting round the fire in a reddish light. And she called me down the stairs. I went and sat on her knees, and I experienced the first time transmediumship through one of my uncles, who started talking in an African voice. Wonderful. That's a lovely experience to start life with, isn't it?
Well, I should say you never forgot that one. Now, that particular session was not moving through your mother. It was something emanating directly through the abilities of your uncle?
That's correct.
I see.
Yes, yes. No, that wasn't through my mother at that time. And then my next real experience, I suppose, was with Helen Duncan, who I'm sure Michael will have mentioned on a number of occasions.
Indeed, we have spoken a great deal about Helen, yes.
I'm sure you will. Yes, I was fortunate to be able to sit with her in Middlesbrough again when I was about 19.
Wow.
So that's twice. So I had 2 good experiences in my young life. But then, of course, the real experience started after the war in 1946 with my mother's mediumship.
Did you yourself, Tom, have any special talents or senses that you felt made you a little different than your friends and peers?
Not really. No, I've never felt or experienced mediumistic powers. Mm-hmm. Certainly healing powers, helping people to be healed. But in the circle, apparently I was always told I was a power giver. You have to have people who can give the energy and give the power mm-hmm. for this physical mediumship.
We're going to use the term tonight, circle. And if you yes. would, when we come back, we have to take a small break here. We have
yes.
three breaks each hour. When we
sure.
come back, if you would, Tom, describe circle, how we'll be using that term tonight.
Sure.
Okay, very good. We'll be right back with Tom Harrison and Michael Roll after this. Okay, we're back talking with Michael Roll and Mr. Tom Harrison. Okay, Tom, what is a circle as it became known to you and as it occurred in your family?
A circle, Jeff, is nothing more than a group of people getting together to sit for a particular purpose. That particular purpose is to make contact with the spirit friends and relatives around.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now... When yes. Tom, when you came back from the war, did you move back home for a bit? Were you back?
I was married. No, I'd been married during the war.
I see.
So I was not. You mean was I living with my mother and father?
Correct.
No, no. I was married and had a family of three children at that time.
Oh my! All right. Well, very good. Okay. So when you engaged in the circles, you would go visit your folks and do that. When was the first time, Tom, that you realized that your mother had a special gift, and what were the circumstances?
Oh, I think that was a few years earlier, her gift of clairvoyance and clairaudience, but not the physical phenomenon, which is the important part of tonight, I think.
Yes.
But she was a medium of a... we all know what clairvoyance is, do we?
Sure.
Clear seeing, mm-hmm. clairaudience, clear hearing, hearing mm-hmm. people and seeing spirit people. Mum had that gift... Oh, her teenage years, I should think.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember it happening when I was a younger boy.
Incidentally, did she say anything to you, Tom, about your military service and the danger you were in for most of those 7 years?
No.
Just curious.
In what way, Jeff?
I was just curious if she were to say to you, Tom, this is going to be dangerous and scary, but I want you to rest assured that you're going to be okay. In other words, did she have any feelings or senses about
it? No, she never said it. I mean, she was always sure that everything was going to be all right.
Uh-huh.
But not from a psychic point of view. She didn't kind of go into a trance of anything to tell me.
I see. Okay, just curious.
Just a mother love.
I understand. Well, that's enough, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So, a circle. Your mother
yes.
engages in activities
yep.
the first time... of which must have amazed you. Tell me what the first time yeah. was like.
Right, the first time we sat... Well, there's a bit more to it prior to that, Jeff.
Go right ahead.
My mum and dad and Doris, my first wife, used to go around to our friend Sid and Gladys Shipman for Saturday night visits, as they used to do social visits in those days. I don't know whether you remember those days.
Well, I know of them.
You know of them?
Yes.
Yeah, before the days of television.
Yes, when people still used to talk to each other and actually engage in intellectual conversations, yeah.
That's right. So those five people got together every Saturday night, practically throughout the whole of the war. And whenever I was on leave in England, of course, if I was there, I could go and join them. So we were all together. Now, it was after I was demobbed... And we went round and sat with Sid and Gladys just for an evening social gathering. And Sidney, who was a spiritualist, said, why don't we have a circle? And we all said, what a good idea. Great.
Mm-hmm.
We expected trans phenomena from my mother. Because by then, my mother was a medium.
Mm-hmm.
The difference being that she then went to sleep, literally went to sleep, and spirit people spoke through her.
I see.
And this first night, when we sat as a circle, Aunt Ag, I must explain, one of my mother's sisters, who was a medium when she was living on the earth plane, a trance medium and trumpet medium, she came through my mother. She had passed over in 1942, and we're now talking of the 6th of April, 1946. She came through my mother and suggested we sat as a group, as a circle, with a trumpet. Now, a trumpet is nothing more than a simple megaphone. Probably Michael has explained this before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's just a cone. All right.
That's it. You've got it. And Aunt Ag also was a trumpet medium when she was living on the earth plane. And the trumpet voices come through the trumpet from the middle of the room.
Is anyone holding the trumpet up usually, or is it sitting there by itself?
It's held up by itself on the end of an ectoplasmic rod. And I think there is a photograph on Tom Jones' web of the way the trumpet is held up at the end of an ectoplasmic rod.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about ectoplasm as well, I suppose, later.
Right. Yes, we will.
So we sat around. My mother was controlled. Aunt Ag advised us to sit for trumpet phenomena. So the following week, Sid and myself had both made trumpets, one of cardboard and one, I think Sid made his of wood, and we put them in the middle of the room. Now, nothing happened for the first 3 weeks, for the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But the third week, when we'd finished sitting, we moved the trumpet, lifted the trumpet up to put it away. We had stood the trumpet on the floor in the middle of the group, in the middle of the circle, picked it up, and underneath it was an apport. Now, again, without boring people what apports are, but it's nothing more than a piece of material stuff being brought into the room from outside.
It's an item, it's a thing, it's something, and we'll find out more about that apport with Tom Harrison, and we'll be back with Michael Roll as well in just a couple minutes. Talk to you then. And welcome back, talking with Tom Harrison in Spain and Michael Roll in the U.K. Okay, Tom, tell us the rest of that story.
Okay. Well, when Sidney lifted the trumpet to put it away, as I said, underneath it, in fact, was a small piece of white blossom. You know, like cherry blossom?
Sure.
Just like that. Right in the middle of the trumpet, or on the floor in the middle of the trumpet.
Okay.
And Sidney said, well, where's that come from? And we checked everybody's bags or turnips on trousers. My dad, Sid, was checking, make sure that they hadn't brought it in with them when they came in to start the circle. But it hadn't. And he made this prophetic statement, and he said, well, that must be our first apport. And so it was.
Mm-hmm.
We had hundreds of apports over the years.
And you have many of them still in your possession. Let me, if I can, direct people to Tom Jones' marvelous webpage about Minnie Harrison, the Minnie Harrison page. We're going to get it up on my homepage momentarily, having a little uploading problem. So let me give this to people directly. It's very simple. It's the usual http://UK. geocities.com/TM Jones, then the numbers 28, the numerals 28, TM Jones 28, /Harrison, all lowercase still, .htm, the pound sign, and then the lowercase d. Harrison.htm, the pound sign, and lowercase d. That'll get you right there. On that page, you can look at A, B, C, D, and E, and you'll find under D some of the apports we received. Now, there are pictures of these apports that you received during your Saturday night sittings. Tell me more about these. The blossom was one. What other things did you get?
Yes. Well, every week after that, because we sat every Saturday, week after week after week, for something like 8 years. Mainly in Sid and Gladys's house, our good host and friend, Sid and Gladys Shipman. And we sat in there, just in their sitting room, as we call it in England, a small room alongside a shop. They had a shop, General D and Baker's shop. And we sat in that small room week after week after week. And most Saturdays, we had flowers being apported in each week from gardens and from the local florist, in fact, at one stage. It was a good laugh.
Yeah.
But you never knew where they came from.
Uh-huh.
But other things we had was a button, which was brought on what we call Soldier's Night.
Mm-hmm.
Soldier's Night was sitting nearest to the 11th of November, because in England we still used to have our Armistice Day celebrations.
I see.
And we used to have what we called a Soldier's Night.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the buttons came that night. I think that's the second item on the photograph. There's a badge there as well, which came from a man who, when he materialized, actually handed that badge to me, and which I'll come on to shortly when we come to materializations.
Wow, okay.
And there was a penny brought. My wife Anne is with me sitting here, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And she's saying that there's no pound sign in the...
Oh, there's not?
No.
Okay,
all right. It's HTM.
Okay, got it.
It's obviously a fault that's come up sending you the address. So that people will get it if they want it. They mustn't put the pound sign in.
Popped in there.
Okay.
I'll give it to people again real quickly. It's http://... all lowercase letters now. uk.geocities.com/TMJones28#Harrison, HARRISON.htm. There it is.
That's it.
Yep.
You got it.
Very good.
Yep.
All right.
Good.
Now.
Yes?
Carry on.
Right. And the flowers we had, as I said, most weeks we had a flower brought, usually there at the end of the circle. But when we were getting our materializations, the materialized people brought them with them, which was tremendous, which was marvelous to see a materialized spirit standing there and handing a flower to a visitor, to a guest sitter, because we had lots of guest sitters.
Lots of guest sitters. What does that mean now, Tom, when you have a guest sitter?
People... We call our circle a sitting. When
yes.
when you have a group together
you
sit together, it's just, we know it as a sitting, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And people who came and sat with us as guests.
Just guests, okay.
That's right.
These people had to be, on more than one occasion, absolutely astonished by what was going on.
So they were. So we were at times. I mean, the very first materialization, if we can move on to materialization now, or shall we leave it till a bit later?
Hold on just for, we have another break coming up in just a minute. I want to reiterate how often these circles, the sessions, the sittings were held, Tom, and how many times you attended. There were hundreds and hundreds of them.
That's right. Over 8 years.
Just
yep.
extraordinary.
About 400 in total there would be.
Wow. All right. Hold on, and we'll pause and come right back. Tom Harrison is with us from Spain, and Michael Roll is standing by in the UK, and we will be right back. Okay, welcome back. I'm Jeff Runtz with Michael Roll and Tom Harrison. Michael, so far we've heard a marvelous story from a man who has Sounds like Total Recall to me. What a life.
I am absolutely enthralled listening to it, because Tom only had half an hour on BBC Radio 4. But now we've got plenty of time for him to go into all this wonderful detail. And now we're coming to the really exciting bit where people fully materialize.
Indeed.
And we've got a real thriller in front of us now.
Okay. All right. Tom, go ahead. Tell us about the first time when you saw a full body materialization, or even a partial body materialization.
Right. Let me tell you, it developed so quickly, our circle. This was the unique part about it. We were absolutely amazed and thrilled to bits the way it happened. I mean, I'm calling it week 13, because that was the 13th sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And on week 13, for example, and I controlled my mother and just told us they were experimenting with materialization. And we would soon have full materialization like Helen Duncan. Well, this was hard for us to believe, frankly. Just a group of people sitting in a room like that, six of us, wondering what would happen, and she was telling us this. And so it gradually built. 4 weeks later, we saw two hands, materialized hands, in front of a white plaque. That was week 17. And so it went on, week 18. But the main one was, when we got to week 30, we had asked our spirit friends, Aunt Ag and Sunrise, my mother's main guide. I'm going to be talking about people who were part of the spirit group of helpers. And Sunrise told us, we asked him, could we have a red light? Because trumpet phenomena was all in the dark.
Hmm.
But we had luminous spots on the trumpet.
Okay, that's important that this all took place in the dark. And we're talking about pitch dark.
Pitch dark.
Okay,
but
you wanted a red light.
That's correct.
Okay.
So we asked whether we could have a red light, and we were given approval. Now, you see, you do nothing in a physical circle without the approval of your spirit helpers, because the medium can be, they're in such a supersensitive state, and a light affects ectoplasm, as Michael knows about Helen Duncan, the way she was killed by these stupid policemen.
Right.
Shining a white light.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. But we got permission to have a red light. And then Mr. Jones, a surgeon, the superintendent of Middlesbrough Hospital, he joined us as a guest sitter 1 week, week number 30. And we saw a hand, a materialized ectoplasmic hand, and it was holding a rose, and it was given to Mr. Jones. It was his mother's hand, and she gave him the rose.
Did the hand, Tom, come floating across the room, or did it materialize immediately in front of him and was holding
the
rose?
It materialized in front of my mother.
I see.
My mother is now... As I said, we sat round. It was in a horseshoe rather than in a circle.
Okay.
We sat round the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother was at one end of it. I was at the other end.
But there was no fire.
No, just the fireplace. That
yes,
was all.
Quite.
Right. And my mother was in full view in the red light, but she was in complete trance. All throughout the years, she had no idea what happened until we told her every week.
None.
But none at all, because she was asleep deep trance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that mediums sacrifice a lot of things for other people. But it was week number 32, which I can never, ever forget about. Well, never will, I suppose, forget what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was week 32, and we're sitting there in the red light. And on the floor in front of us, in the middle of the circle, in front of the fire, we saw a white disc. Now, I'm saying it was white, although it was a red light, because ectoplasm, which comes from the medium,
mm-hmm,
does not pick up the light. It stays white.
Mm-hmm.
Here was this white disc on the floor in front of us. We were all very excited.
A perfect disc? When you say disc, how big? A platter-sized disc?
Yes, about 18 inches.
All right.
18 inches diameter. And it just appeared on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And as we watched it, we were all excited, obviously, and thrilled. We watched it, it started to grow upwards into a column of white. And it grew up and up. And here we were all saying, look at this, it's growing. Wonderful, it's growing. And it grew and grew up and up until it reached about the height of a person. We were all so excited. This is wonderful, ectoplasm like this in our circle. As we sat and as we watched it, we saw the top of it, or I saw the top of it, turn towards me. And there was a face there. Now, I couldn't say I recognized who the face was, but I soon found out who it was. Because as I was watching it and the face turned towards me, and I'm no more than 18 inches, 2 feet away, maybe 3 feet at the most, because it was only a small room, from this body of ectoplasm came two arms and hands, and I automatically stretched my hand out towards it. I was not frightened. I was a bit apprehensive, though this was the first time I'd seen this happen. But in my right hand, this person, who turned out to be Antag, Antag was the one who did most of our phenomena in the early days, she placed in my hand four carnations, apoorts, put her other hand round it and clasped them together and said to me, for you, left loose of my hand, put her arms back into the body of the ectoplasm, and it gradually disappeared down, went back into my mother. And here am I sat with four carnations in my hand, given to me by a full materialized ectoplasmic form of my aunt. I think the phrase is gobsmacked.
I would say...
I had a dry mouth, a dry throat, yeah. And I just grabbed these... grabbed these carnations, mm-hmm. And I never left loose of them until the end of the circle. Wonderful.
Her voice was loud and clear or soft and clear?
No, soft, very soft at that time. She just quietly was said to me, for you. That was all. That was the very first one in the red light in front of my mother. So there was no question of my mother being dressed up in a white cloak or
yes.
anything like that.
Yes.
And I must say now, I appreciate everything Michael is doing scientifically, but I approach things from the other end of the scale, I suppose, without the science side of it, just getting through to people that these things can happen and do happen when you have the right conditions. And that was the very first materialization. Yes?
Tom, the other people in the room when this was going on were hushed? Were they?
Oh, yes.
Nobody could have said anything when that was going on.
No. No, we just sat and, well, I think we made comment. Look at it. I was making comment. Look at it growing. Look at it. All in a red light that was very clear. We could see it very clearly
mm-hmm.
and see my mother as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our very first materialization.
Now, Aunt Ag,
yes,
she was one of your very favorites, was she?
Yes, she was one of my mother's elder sisters, mm-hmm. Mrs. Agnes Abbott,
mm-hmm.
who, again, Michael have probably heard of because she gave sittings to Arthur Findlay in the days when she was a medium down in London.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael will be very interested in that, I know, because Arthur Findlay reported a sitting with her where there were 92 correct facts in that sitting. And he put it in his book, On the Edge of the Etheric and Looking Back, which I'm sure Michael will know about and may have already talked about. But that was Aunt Ag, Mrs. Agnes Abbott, and she was a very, very good medium when she was here on the Earth plane.
Sounds
now, after that, mm-hmm. if I can move on one more or two more,
yes.
We invited Mr. Jones again.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and saw Aunt Ag standing there in front of us. And he said afterwards, we always had a cup of tea and a sandwich when it was finished. Gladys always provided that, a mug of tea. And when we had finished, he said, that was the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. Now, here is a fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons, not a fool, not at all, but he said, I wonder if I could feel Mrs. Abbott's pulse. I would have liked to have felt Mrs. Abbott's pulse. Now, that's something we would never have thought of. But being the medical man, he was great. So we said, okay, next week we'll ask whether you can do that.
Let me ask you, Tom, to pause right there. We have another brief intermission coming up of a couple of minutes. And let me get Michael Roll's comment. Go ahead, Michael. That's an amazing story.
Yes, this is so interesting. It's really very much what I witnessed. This is 1940s, 1950s, Tom's talking about, but this is almost identical to the Rita Gould experience that I had in 1983. And he's got Aunt Ag as this sort of master of ceremonies. But Rita Gould had the great materialization medium Helen Duncan. And she was the sort of master of ceremonies there and fully materializing. And Tom has made it very clear how careful you have to be, Jeff, not to damage the medium. And you have to do exactly as the etheric people say. And this is what's so important in one of these materializations.
Well, they gave him permission for the red light, and that made an astonishing difference in the whole series of 8 years of meetings and sittings. Hold on, and we'll pause and come right back and hear from Mr. Tom Harrison how that next event worked out when the medical man requested to feel the pulse of a materialized person from the other side. We'll do that next.